nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Henry Kissinger said, "If we do all that is necessary, all the odds are in our favor." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who do all that is necessary. Our first playmaker began working in the family business at the age of 15, while our second playmaker owns one of the largest minority women-owned general contracting firms in the United States. With us today is the president of two moving companies that began with one truck and debt 39 years ago, while our next playmaker is a CEO of a company that started as a result of dinner with some friends. These great playmakers are Steve Dumay. Steve is president of Texas Moving Company. And Gail Warrior. Gail is CEO of the Warrior Group, in addition to a few others. And we're going to begin today's show with Gail. Gail Warrior is an entrepreneur, nationally recognized speaker, philanthropist, lifelong fitness enthusiast, and mother. In 1997, she founded Warrior Group, a commercial general contracting firm headquartered in Dallas, and developed into one of the country's leading experts in permanent modular construction. She recently launched her own luxury activewear and integrated lifestyle company called Warrior Elements that will empower women to cultivate the warrior within. In 2007, she founded Heart of a Warrior Charitable Foundation and serves as chairwoman. The mission is to provide total enrichment opportunities for underserved children by way of its STEM-based Young Warriors Summer Learning Program. Well, Gail, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve.
A lot I mentioned that we need to talk about, but one thing is we were talking before about you. You do everything in your life. You've had a lot to do. You've developed extreme organization. Did that organization come naturally, or do you have to develop your organizational skills?
You know, Steve, I think it was probably a little bit of both. I think it was a combination of having an extreme A-type personality and having a dad who was in the Army, and everything just had to be just so. I remember, you know, we would clean the kitchen growing up, and if it wasn't, you know, done right, then of course you would have to do it again. And my dad's philosophy was, if you weren't going to take the time to do something right, then don't even bother doing it at all. And so organization for me kind of evolved over the years to be able to balance and do everything that I do. So I think it was probably a combination, something that was innate and something that I developed and grew over time.
It kind of built as you were going
exactly.
along.
Exactly.
Well, you're an entrepreneur, and construction was your first business. How did you get started? I referenced that slightly when I was doing the introduction, but how did you get started as an entrepreneur and in the construction business?
So literally, I was working in corporate America, and the company was merging with another company, and I didn't want to relocate to Houston. Dallas is my home. And was having dinner one night with some friends who owned a modular manufacturing facility. And at that time, most of their business was doing portable buildings for schools. And there was an untapped market in the federal government space where no one at that time was marketing to the federal government to sell modular buildings. And we kind of just drew out, you know, what it would take to do that and how to start a company and market to the federal government, and that's what we did.
Well, as an entrepreneur, you seem like you find a need and you fill it. We'll talk more about your construction company, but you also developed another company called Warrior Elements. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about Warrior Elements, because I'm sure you're excited about that, because it's still relatively new.
It is. It's very new, and I'm very excited about it. So most people don't realize that health and fitness is something that has been near and dear to my heart probably before I even started the construction company. And so I'm often asked, how am I able to do everything that I do with the company and with the foundation and, you know, raising my son and still have time to work out? Because people say, well, I don't have time to work out. I'm working. I have to help kids with homework. And so with Warrior Elements, it's there's four different elements to the line: fire, water, earth, and wind. And so it's something that I love fashion. So it's my opportunity to combine the fitness, the fashion, and create something for women that they can, there's designs that they can wear in the workplace. Then they can go from the workplace to the gym and get a great workout and still look good and feel good and all at the same time.
Well, you're, and I'm sure one of the reasons you're doing this is so you'll have something to wear too.
Exactly.
And be fashionable
exactly.
As you're working out, a big part of your life. Mm-hmm. We mentioned that you have some strong organizational skills, and you also mentioned a few moments ago that a lot of people just say, I have no time to work out. And my answer to them generally is, yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Do you have a productivity tip that you can share with professionals out there that aren't doing anywhere near what you're doing in terms of your life?
Well, as far as organization, I mean, a couple of things that I do to keep my life balanced. So on Sundays are huge, it's my huge planning day. So Sundays is everything from literally laying out my clothes. I have a rack in my closet, laying everything out for the week, to preparing all of our meals for the week. My son and I go grocery shopping together, and we cook all of our meals together. So there in lines, you know, some additional family time. We package all of our meals in containers, and then I actually sit down Sunday evening after he goes to bed and figure out, you know, what is going to happen for the week and the meetings that I have coming up, and making sure that I have all the materials that are needed. So to take the time to do that actually helps me to be even more productive and to get more things done throughout the day, because that's one less thing that I have to think about on Monday morning is, what am I going to wear? What are we going to have for dinner tonight? Do I have everything that I need for these meetings today? It's already done on the day before.
So essentially what you've done is you've taken a tremendous amount of decisions out of your life by doing it all at one time.
Exactly.
And there's less thinking involved.
Exactly.
And you can just do what you have to do, and your mind is free to come up with the ideas that you have to come up with. Well, going back to your first business, the construction module homes, what industries are you involved in now? Because you're working with the federal government, but I'm sure you've gone beyond that in the 15, 17 years since you've been in business.
Yes. So outside of modular construction, we do ground-up construction as well. So we've done projects with DISD, the City of Dallas, Parks and Recs, and currently we're on a project with it's a joint venture we're doing with Beck Construction. We're building the new student center at University of North Texas in their Denton campus.
So most of it's local here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
It is.
Well, you are, I mentioned at the very beginning, you're a philanthropist too, and you developed your Heart of a Warrior Charitable Foundation, which is, again, probably very close to you and dear to your heart. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. Talk about why you started that and what it does.
So I've got a brother and a sister, and when we were growing up, education was something that my parents always kind of instilled in us at a very, very early age. And they always told us that there's nothing that you can't do in life if you are constantly and continually learning. And so I wanted to be able to provide an atmosphere for children over the summer where they could still learn and understand that learning actually is very fun, you know, depending on how you look at it. And so we've developed a program over the summer, STEM-based, meaning that we focus on science, technology, engineering, and math. And it's the classroom sizes are 10 to 1, so the classrooms are very small, and it's project-based learning. So it's interactive learning. The kids aren't just sitting at a, you know, desk and listening to the teachers all day. But beyond the traditional the learning in the classroom, we take them out to some incredible field trips every summer. And so they're getting out into the city and seeing and learning about things that they wouldn't otherwise know about had they not been in the program. And then we end our program with a graduation at a different college campus. And so our kids go from kindergarten through seventh grade. So we don't have high school students. We focus on the younger student and try to instill into them the importance of the journey of why they're in school is to go to college at the end of high school. And we expose them to different college campuses every summer.
It almost seems, as you're explaining that you're really helping them learn how to learn and enjoy the studying and the journey.
Yes.
Of learning as they go through life.
Right.
That's a big part of it. Well, you mentioned something before that clicked to my mind, and you're involved in some businesses, you're involved in philanthropy, but you also have had some struggles. There's no way that you could have been as successful as you are right now without having some setbacks and possibly some failures. You're in a male-dominated business, in the construction business. What struggles have you had to overcome as a woman and a minority in the industry?
Oh, wow. You know, someone told me once a long time ago that you can't say that you've been successful until you've been sued or that you have sued someone.
Oh, that's interesting.
I thought that's an interesting way to look at it. And we have definitely, you know, had some struggles. I mean, I don't think that you can be in business in any industry for any length of time and not go through different, economic recessions and ups and downs in our economy and not have some struggles. For Warrior Group, I think probably one of our biggest struggles was just learning how to tackle larger projects and learning how to tackle projects that were not local. So we did a project once for the Veterans Administration, and it wasn't here in Dallas. It was in Chicago. And understanding the importance of hiring the right people on your team. And so long story short, we ended up having a guy that was on our team that was taking some kickbacks from one of our subcontractors.
And this does go on in the construction business.
Yes, it does. And so when I found out about it through the contracting officer, who kind of knew that something was, you know, shady going on, and the project was completely behind schedule, and a lot of the work was deficient, meaning we had to do it over again, I had to fire the subcontractor on the job and fire the project manager on the job and bring on a new sub. And this was a job that had major liquidated damages attached to it. And so we had to finish on time. And we did. We finished on time, but not without losing, you know, a ton of cash. And so on that one project, we probably lost almost $1 million to the bottom line. And so most companies, when you think about that, you know, losing that type of hard cash.
That could put them out of
business. Exactly. And so we spent quite a bit of time going literally, I call, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul and not knowing if, you know, we'd have enough cash to make payroll. That went on for a couple of years after that project. I am proud to say that we did finish the project, and the VA thought, you know, we were one of the best, you know, clients that they'd, or general contractors that they had worked with. Probably about 2 or 3 years after that project, we had an opportunity to do much larger projects, to do barracks with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And then I went to a wonderful organization called the Texas Women's Venture Fund, and they invested in me and in the company and saw where we could take this company. We got some debt capital to be able to grow the business. And from there, we just hit the ground running. I hired some great team members to help us build those projects and expand the company and never look back.
Well, I truly believe in karma. If you do the right things, even though you're struggling, even though you're wondering what's going to happen the next moment, mm-hmm. good things come to you the farther down the line. It takes somebody who's very focused to make that happen. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You have a number of websites which will are on our website. Tell us about how they can get a hold of you through your websites.
So Warrior Elements is www.warrior-elements.com. Warrior Group is actually warriorconstruction.com. And then our foundation is www.hoawdallas.org.
Gail Warrior, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
And you heard all those websites. You can also check them on our website, which is playmakerstalkshow.com, which will have links to all those websites. Gail Warrior is an entrepreneur, and she is CEO, and it's Warrior Group, Warrior Elements, two of the big ones for Gail Warrior. Don't go away. We have more. We're going to talk to an entrepreneur in the moving business, specifically focused on corporate and commercial moving. His name is Steve DeMay. It's Texas Moving Company, and we're going to talk to Steve right after this.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're in store for an interesting segment on moving. We're going to talk to Steve Dumais. Steve is president of both Texas Moving Company and Electronic Transport Corporation. Steve's parents started the business with a used truck and a bank loan in 1975. Texas Moving Company is a full-service moving, storage, and transportation company providing a complete range of professional services for office and industrial relocation, long-distance, high-value product transportation, data center migration and relocation, and high-tech storage. Steve began his career carrying furniture, loading trucks, working the warehouse, and even earning his 500,000-mile safe driving award in long-distance driving. He's worked every job in the business from janitor to salesman. Steve, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
You've had a varied career in that business, though you've done a few things too. But to help us understand, because I mentioned this at the very beginning, tell us how two inexperienced college graduates who began a one-truck startup moving company in debt developed a $20 million moving business.
Well, they made a lot of sacrifices, and they made a lot of good choices. Mom and Dad decided to take advantage of the transportation that was being created by DFW Airport coming into the area. And at that time, they borrowed $800 as a personal loan from the Community Credit Union, and they went to Ryder Trucks and bought a used truck and had their first truck. And we tried a couple different names. We were Electronic Transport Corporation. We were Dumais Delivery, but pretty soon we were Texas Moving Company. And we parked the truck behind the house and kept it busy going back and forth to the airport and making local deliveries. Next thing you know, there was another truck and another truck, and within year and a half, we were parking trucks at what became Richardson Square Mall, and then we moved out of the house and had a warehouse, and it just continued to grow. Right now, we're at about 85 units. At one point, we were as high as 120.
Well, you're still not too far from the old Richardson Square Mall. You're in the corner of Bowser and Arapahoe right now, the southeast corner of that. But I want to ask you about the beginning, because you were born in Maine, and the family moved here in 1973. Did your family move here to be in business, and was it because of the airport?
No. Actually, Mom and Dad moved here for Dad's job. He worked retail. He was president of the Merchants Association at Valley View Mall. And then he was president of the Merchants Association at Town East Mall. And he had decided that he wanted to do something on his own, so he opened up Great American Painting Contractors. And unfortunately, that was a franchise that went, the parent company went under. So although his division was successful, parent company went under. But he still had the desire to be an entrepreneur. So he decided to give it another try. And that's how the moving company came about. And he was transitioning jobs and doing more work on the moving company, thinking he was going to just do the moving company on the side and go back into retail. But it grew so fast that he never got back into retail. It just became the focus for him and my mom.
He and your mother were in the right place at the right time for the right business. Well, you are just a few months short of your 40th anniversary being in the moving business, but your business has changed. It's not the way it was 40 years ago. You've moved into a little some other areas. Talk about what you do and the areas that you participate in.
Well, we found our niche. We had to adjust over the years for different customers, MozTech, MCI. Few customers would tell us what they needed, and we had to figure out how to service their needs. So we kind of learned that our niche was electronics. So we opened up a division called Electronic Transport. We grew that into the majority of our work, where the household moving and the office moving became secondary to the long-distance electronics. It's been great work. It's been a learning experience, but we think we're very good at what we do. We designed our own equipment. We developed our first Air Ride Bobtail before you could purchase them at the dealerships. We had designed our own. We've kind of been a leader in that industry.
Well, you left the business for a short time to start your own business, and you came back, and that was probably a good learning experience for you by getting away and then coming back again.
I think so too, and I think I told you earlier I'm a goal setter, and I probably set a goal that was a little too high. started working when I was around 14 or 15, and in my 20s, I set the goal that I wanted to be a millionaire at 30. Well, my 30th birthday was rolling around, and I was not a millionaire. And I decided that I needed to step out and do something else. Not that there was a problem with working with my parents in the moving business. I just felt I hadn't reached my goals. I hadn't proven to myself that I could be successful. So I stepped out on my own. And boy, it was hard. I was successful. I still didn't reach my million-dollar goal, but I was successful, and I built a pretty good business, both a payroll service business, but more importantly, a computer business, and did that for approximately 12 years. I never planned on returning to the family trucking business, but my daughter at 12 years old decided that she wanted to live full-time with me. And when she moved in, the traveling that the computer work required wasn't going to be possible because I spent time in a lot of other cities. So my dad was asking if I wanted to work with him again, and I hadn't worked with him in 12 years, and I was really looking forward to the opportunity to work with him. My dad apparently had a different plan. So I talked to him, and I said, first I said, no, Dad, I'm not going to come in. And then I thought about it a couple of days, and I called him up, and I said, hey, Dad, I'm not going to pass up the opportunity to work with you again. Tell me what you need. And I went in, I had a few specific tasks, and I felt I was doing pretty good. The first week, I think I worked 10 hours, second week, 20 hours, and by the fourth or fifth week, I was working 40, 45 hours. And I remember going in one day, and my dad wasn't there, and he was supposed to meet me because we worked together every day. And I called him up and said, hey, Dad, when are you coming in? And he said, son, your mom and I are in Florida, and you're in charge. So I was kind of quiet first. I felt like I'd been tricked a little bit because I took the job to work with Dad and with Mom. But he was doing what was best for me. He knew I was ready. He wanted me back there. At that point, I sold the little bit of the computer business that I hadn't already let go. I sold out and dedicated my time full-time to running the business. And although he tricked me into it, it was the best thing that could have happened to my business career.
Well, you mentioned trick. There's another word that starts with T, and that's trust. He obviously trusted you to be able to do that, to be able to trick you to do that. But you mentioned something else about not reaching your goal at the age of 30, being a millionaire. Success is not necessarily reaching the goal. It's how far you came from where you started, which you obviously have come a long way. And there were two words that in some information you sent me that it seems like your business is built on, and I want you to talk about this, that's integrity and respect. That's one of the reasons your business is so successful. So illuminate us on why that works for you.
Yeah, my mom and dad both felt that way. They both felt that integrity and respect was how you built a business from the bottom up. I mean, you have the same respect for everyone that works with you. You have the same honesty and integrity in everything you do. And if you treat people that way, your customers, your employees, your vendors, you treat everybody with integrity and respect. You conduct yourself with integrity and you treat them with respect. You will be successful. And they were right. I mean, it builds a solid business that you can weather the good times and the bad times when you have those type of business relationships and employee relationships.
And it's great that you're now in your third generation of family by having your daughter involved with the company too. But they're also, in addition to your passion for your business, which you obviously have, you also have another passion for what the U.S. government is doing to privately owned family businesses. You've gone to Congress, I believe. You've gone to Washington to talk to them. Talk to us a little bit about what you are focusing on changing.
Well, I'm on the board of directors for the American Moving and Storage Association, and I have been for about 8 years. And when I'm in D.C. meeting with our representatives, I always take the opportunity to bring up a personal issue, and that's the inheritance tax. I know it's difficult for the average individual to understand how inheritance tax can affect them, but what I think it's going to do is I think it's going to injure the asset-rich businesses like trucking and farming. It's going to prevent those businesses from being passed generation to generation. And if we use our trucking company as an example, in order to do $15 to $20 million worth of volume every year, it takes $15 to $20 million worth of assets. So if something happens, you have to pay tax on all those assets. Now, we have tried ways to avoid that. At one point, we looked at purchasing the buildings ahead of time. But the only one getting any money out of it was the government. So my payment on the building was $40,000 a month. I charged the company $50,000 in rent. At the end of the year, I took the extra $10,000, so I had $120,000 to pay tax. I still owed another $100,000 in tax on top of that. So I had to take $200,000 in income to pay the $100,000 in tax and the new tax created by the $200,000.
This almost sounds like getting in debt to your bookie and the interest keeps getting larger and larger.
It gets so bad, it's crazy. At the beginning of the year, when you add up the numbers, you got $600,000 in rent, you got $200,000 that you took out for taxes. I would have my income would show $800,000, and I had zero in my pocket. So what we ended up doing is we said, this isn't working. All the money's going to the government. What I'm not paying in tax, my dad's paying in tax. This isn't the way to do it. So we took the inheritance tax early and took care of the buildings. Unfortunately, that doesn't take care of the remaining assets. So we still have, say, $10 million plus worth of equipment that at some point tax is going to have to be paid on. And all the inheritance, the benefits are free. The free tax part is gone. So you're going to have to pay 40% tax on what's left. And what ends up happening is you got to cut back and lose jobs. You got to save money to pay the tax. And unfortunately, our business might be faced with that twice in a 20 to 25 year period.
Because of your different generations going into that. Steve, tell us about how anybody can get a hold of you with your two different websites.
Okay, I'm at texasmoving.com and electronictransport.com. And then my daughter also has another branch of the business, which is texas-archives.com.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Steve DeMay is the president of both Texas Moving Company, Electronic Transport. Thank you very much for listening to us. This has been a terrific show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back again next week with more Playmakers. We'll see you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.